It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
You know, you have those moments in sports. You're watching the game on TV. Something happens, and you just want to throw something at your TV. You're so distraught. I got to think diehard Penn State fans everywhere were feeling that last night to some degree after just a horrific, horrific career-defining mistake by Drew Aller. Oh, man, that's crushing. I'll tell you what. We've got a lot to discuss today. This is Sports Central. I'm Corey Geiger. Join me on the phone lines, 946-0435. We've got a lot of things to discuss. First and foremost, I want to throw this out. That was not really James Franklin's fault last night. I'm critical of James. He's now 1-15 against top five teams, but Penn State was in position to win that game. They'd made adjustments, they'd come back, some bad breaks, guy falling down, and they score a tying touchdown. There are a lot of different things we can discuss. So I'm not going to sit here and totally blame James Franklin this time. But what I am going to do is blame Drew Aller. That loss is on him. That is what we will remember Drew Aller for forever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he does next year, short of winning a national championship. And I think they're going to take big hits personnel-wise, so they're not winning a national championship next year. It's hard to fathom that guy throwing that pass. Sometimes in sports, and, you know, you talk about you win as a team, you lose as a team. Okay, that is true. That's the overriding arc of things. Drew Aller didn't lose the game all by himself. But damn, man. He might have lost it 80% by himself. I mean, if you think about five-star quarterback recruit, number one pro prospect quarterback recruit in the country when he came to Penn State, and how mediocre Drew Aller has been in the postseason. 12 of 23 last night, a buck 40, one interception that sealed the deal, cost them their season. Could have been picked off a couple other times, but got lucky with some penalties. So I ask you this question. Okay, here's the question I do want to ask. If you want to blame Franklin, I'll hear you out. I'll probably disagree, but I'll hear you out. How much should we blame, quote-unquote, college kids? Does that exist anymore, quote-unquote, college kids? Because I'm going to rip Drew Aller a new one today. He was horrible. He crushed Penn State's season. I put most of it on him. Well, that's unfair. He's a 20-year-old, quote-unquote, college kid. But see, if you've listened to me, if you've listened to the theme of this show for the last few years with the amount of financial conversations we have on this show, Drew Aller has made more money in his career as Penn State's quarterback than I will make in my entire life. Let me repeat that. Drew Aller has already made more money as a quote-unquote college kid than I will make in my entire damn life. He's upwards of close to $2 million now. And when he comes back next year, he'll get $1.5 million, $2 million, $3 million more, whatever the heck he's going to get. The phrase college kid, he doesn't have the right to hide behind that anymore. So I'm going to rip him a new one. He's getting ripped a new one. You can't throw that pass in that situation and destroy everything that your team has worked on and hide behind, well, he's just a 20-year-old college kid. Geiger, cut him some. He's a professional athlete. Drew Aller is a professional athlete. If these guys want to go to college and get all this NIL money and all this financial security for their lives, then they are professional athletes. And what comes with that is I am going to gauge them as such. He ain't a college kid. We're not hiding behind kid gloves here and saying, oh, we'll take it easy on the 20-year-old kid. That was one of the worst passes you'll ever see in all of football. And Drew Aller lost the game. If you want to blame James Franklin, there are reasons to blame James Franklin, but I don't think last night specifically was his fault. If you think I'm being too hard on Drew Aller, okay, fine. Just know that he's probably made more money than you will make in your entire life already. So with this new era of professional athletes in college, they've lost the right to be treated with kid gloves, and I'm not going to do it. Jerry in Bellwood. What's up, Jerry?
Yeah, do you think we could talk Drew Aller into turning pro?
You know, I've seen a lot of people saying they wish he would transfer. I think that's too far. He's a decent quarterback. I think people got overhyped with him over the last couple weeks because he really hasn't played all that great. He's been inefficient inconsistent. So, and then we saw last night.
Yeah, I thought Penn State was the better team. And so I didn't get to watch the first half because I was working, but a couple of thoughts. First of all, why would you have Aller throwing so much that last drive when your run game had been doing so well and he had been inconsistent? You know, that's probably the best way to define Drew Aller.
Yes.
He's inconsistent.
There was only 47 seconds. If it had been a minute 20 plus, you had two timeouts. Yeah, you still had to go 30, 40 yards. And with only 47 seconds, I'm okay with him throwing for this reason. And Greg McElroy said it on the broadcast, and he's taking a lot of heat for this because he just said it. You can trust Drew Aller with the ball in these situations, okay? And we thought we could. We thought we could trust Drew Aller. And so to make that level of a mistake on first down, this was first down, for God's sake, because Singleton had just run for a first down. This was first down. And he throws that there again. That will always be his legacy.
I heard that listening to some of the commentators talking about the first half, and he missed some wide open receivers. Is that true?
He did. He threw a couple of passes. The worst pass. Here's the thing. The pass for the interception in the game was horrific. But he threw a ball low and behind Nicholas Singleton on third and goal inside the 5-yard line in the first half. That should have been a touchdown. If that's a touchdown, Penn State's up at worst 14-3 in the first half. And they have to settle for a field goal. So, again, that's a 2-year starter, a guy that people are saying could be an NFL draft pick, and he's throwing it low and behind a wide-open running back in the right flat. It was just an abomination of a mistake. And you take those 4 points off the board, how many points did Penn State lose by 3? So, I mean, those two passes, wow.
Not just an NFL draft prospect, but a top draft prospect people were talking about.
And here's the thing, just so I can say, Drew's a good, but here, these are the discussions we're having. Oh, this is big boy sports, okay? He's a good dude. He's a good leader. He took blame on himself. Okay, well, he should. It's his fault. And so if anybody out there wants to criticize me for being too hard on Drew Aller, then you don't understand what college football is right now. College football is a professional sport. In my mind, you can disagree all you want here. In my mind, there's really not a whole hell of a lot of difference between Drew Aller and Aaron Rodgers. They're both making tons of money. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers a lot more, and Aaron Rodgers, a grown man, been doing it a long time. But when you become a professional athlete, when you start making hundreds hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, you no longer get to be treated like some amateur college kid. Oh, well, good for him. He's a good dude. No, he screwed up. The blame is on him. He's going to have to wear that for his entire life.
Yeah, and because of his play, I think he'll lose the team as far as having confidence in him. But the other question I had, who is the quarterback coach for Penn State?
Danny O'Brien. They kiss his ass like nobody's business. Danny O'Brien is his name. I'm glad you brought it up. I brought it up on a postgame podcast last night. All we hear all year long, every year, is, oh, Danny O'Brien is awesome. Danny O'Brien is great. The guys love Danny O'Brien. He's a future superstar coach. Drew Aller loves Danny O'Brien. Danny O'Brien has done wonderful things for Drew Aller. What? The same fundamental flaws that he had when he got there that Christian Hackenberg had, not the Danny O'Brien coach, Christian. I keep seeing people compare Drew Aller to Christian Hackenberg. So don't give me this nonsense about the quarterback coach being great and all this stuff like that. I mean, look, when you're making that mistake on that level of a game, throwing back across the field, across your body on the wrong foot with the national championship appearance on the line, don't tell me how well he's coached.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought when I think of quarterbacks at Penn State under Franklin is so many times he doesn't seem like he develops quarterbacks very well. And I would think that has a lot to do with him and also the quarterbacks coach. I think that he needs to hire somebody.
Well, they did. They love Jerry, I'm telling you, they absolutely love Danny O'Brien. They think Danny O'Brien is a superstar. And I mean, they think that he's head coach material at some point in college football. So that's what you get from Penn State. Here's how awesome we are. Here's how much we love everybody. Everybody does such a sensational job. And with the national championship appearance on the line, you've got a 2-year starting quarterback who makes a mistake that a 10-year-old quarterback shouldn't make.
Well, proof's in the pudding. I mean, you can look at the results. And I hate to say it, but I think I was the only one to pick Notre Dame to beat Penn State. And it all boils down to James Franklin, and I should have added yesterday when I called in Drew Aller, because I don't have confidence. I don't have confidence in him. I can see him going in the NFL the route that Christian Hackenberg did. I can see it very easily. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope next year he's a great quarterback for Penn State, but I just don't see it. But anyway.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. All right. There's a lot of things we can discuss. I'm not just going to hammer on Drew Aller for an hour. What I will talk about is what was just lost, the opportunity that was just lost. Penn State had the easiest path to a national championship game that it's ever going to have, ever. It's never going to be that easy. You're never going to have a scenario ever again where you play SMU and Boise State and you're basically just almost guaranteed to be in the semifinals. And then you're playing a Notre Dame team that's all banged up, that's got injuries all over the place. They're playing backups on their offensive line. They even said during the broadcast, two guys who had barely played at all are on their offensive line. And yet, I mean, here we are. So, if you think about, well, Penn State's going to be back, Geiger, are they? They ever going to be back here? Penn State, James Franklin's got the program going the right direction. Abdul Carter's gone. Tyler Warren's gone. Either both or one of Nicholas Singleton. Catron Allen's gone. Drew Aller, is he really going to get any better next year when they still don't have any wide receivers? I haven't mentioned that yet. Zero catches by the wide receivers last night. The first time in 20 years Penn State has had a game in which a receiver did not record at least a single catch. That you can blame on James Franklin. We've beaten that dead horse for 2 years about how bad the wide receiver situation is. But if you think about the big picture opportunity that was lost last night, you're dominating the game in the first half, and now you're sitting at home wondering what the hell happened. And it's hard not to wonder if James Franklin ever gets back to this situation ever again to that level. All right, we got Ron. What's going on, Ron? How you doing? There we go, Ron. I'm sorry.
100%.
Yep, go ahead, Ron.
I said I'm 100% behind you. Franklin didn't lose that game. Drew Aller lost that game. And the other thing that ticked me off was the interview after they interviewed Marcus Freeman about being the first black coach to go to the championship game, I thought that was pathetic. I thought that was pathetic. It was all the team, not just Marcus Freeman. And he even said that. He said, it's all about the team. I said, I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, whatever. Still there?
Yeah, I am. Yep, go ahead. Yep, I got you.
Yeah, and that just ticked me off whenever that lady was interviewing him and asked him that question. It's like, you know what? That's a pathetic question to ask somebody after a game.
What did you see from Aller? Well, anybody that wants to wait on any part of the game, you mentioned Aller.
He was horrible. He couldn't hit anybody. He couldn't throw the ball. He was pathetic. I thought he was horrible.
Is it fair to criticize a college kid like that?
No, he deserves to be criticized. Like you said, they're making all that money.
Very good.
They're professional football players in college, making all that money. Got a scholarship to go to Penn State. Did he pay that money back to the college? No, he's still on a scholarship. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. See, I've had this discussion with people for 4 or 5 years when we knew all of this was coming with the finances and the NIL. And I said, hey, look, when they start making this kind of money, we're going to have to start treating them like NFL players. They're professional athletes. Hey, Ron, appreciate the call. Good stuff, man. Thanks so much. We got Eric in Altoona. What's going on, Eric? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I sat and watched that game and knowing Franklin's record and over the years, I kept waiting, thinking, didn't want to get too excited, and just kind of waiting for that to happen. Quite honestly, it's what we can expect, and it's what we get.
It is unfortunate, and, you know. I don't place the blame for just last night specifically on Franklin. Some other crazy things when Cam Miller, the defensive back, fell down on that touchdown. Clearly, Franklin, there's things that he's got to get better at. But so
Corey,
as the game's going on, you're feeling that they're going to blow this because that's just typically what happens.
Corey, who's the one consistent throughout his tenure there? Him.
Yeah.
Hackenberg looked great under O'Brien. He gets there, he can't do squat. Will Levis leaves. He looks like the greatest quarterback ever for Kentucky.
Yep.
So, to me, it's on him. And as a fan, I have believed for a number of years now, listen, sooner or later, they're going to win one of these. Sooner, to me, should have been a few years ago. Later should have been last night. Sooner or later is done. He is not going to do it. I don't know what the problem is. But they need to hire Nick Saban to come in and as assistant head coach and coach 2 to 3 games a year. Let Franklin go on vacation that day.
I don't think Nick's doing. Let me just ask you. I'll ask everybody this: who was the better team last night?
Penn State was, but Notre Dame was better coached and played better.
Right, very
so
good.
You can't take it away from them.
Appreciate it. I think Penn State was the better team last night. Anybody want to disagree with me on that? Nebraska man, who was the better team last night?
I definitely would have to say Penn State.
So doesn't that make it sting a lot more? I've got to think that Penn State fans everywhere probably know they had the better team.
I'm not a Penn State fan, but I was really rooting for them last night. You know, not to complete one pass to a wide receiver in a game that's going to put you in for the national championship.
Crazy. It's crazy. It's impossible. It's truly unbelievable to think that could happen. I mean, as good as Tyler Warren is, he went over 100 catches for the year. The running game was doing well with Singleton Allen. It is impossible to believe that a team in the national semifinal with a former number one quarterback recruit could almost win a game to get to the national championship and not complete a pass to a receiver. It is so mind-boggling that something like that could happen.
Well, I think you got to give credit to Notre Dame. I think
yes,
they wore Penn State down the end of the third quarter and beginning of the fourth quarter. When they made that long drive and they scored, you could see they was wearing Penn State's defensive down. But, I mean, give all the credit in the world to Notre Dame. They never gave up. They kept their heads in the game. Their coaching staff told him, you know, the scores, keep the score low the way it is. We have a good shot.
Here's the thing. Notre Dame was very gritty and very resilient. Penn State was very gritty and very resilient. It was a great college football game. To see a great college football game, an entertaining, well-fought college football game, to end on such a horrible mistake, it's hard to wrap your mind around a guy who last year threw one interception in the regular season. Drew Aller, everybody talked about it. Drew Aller had 25 touchdowns, one interception in the regular season last season. And then to have that guy a year later lose a chance to go to the national championship game on a pass that you wouldn't want a 10-year-old quarterback to attempt, it's just unfathomable.
Corey, let me ask you this. That call on that play, now, did that come from the offensive coordinator?
It did. And look, you can see what's happening. He's going through his progressions. You can see, and Drew talked about this after the game. He looks to his left. He's going through his progressions across the field. This is what you teach quarterbacks to do. If your first target's not open, you go to your second progression, then you go to your third. And you can see his head is going from left to right. And then, like at the last second, he just decides to try to fire a bullet out to Omari Evans on a 20-yard pass. And he said he was trying to just dirt it, throwing it in the ground. He knew his guy wasn't going to have much of a chance to catch it. So he was just trying to kind of, once he decided to throw it, he was trying to just throw it into the ground so that, you know, you live to see another day. And so, and look, the reasoning behind that explanation is pretty sound, but there were 3/100ths of a second in Drew Aller's brain that cost the entire Penn State football program its entire year when he decided to throw the pass in the first place.
So that pass he threw then, Corey, to that interception, that really wasn't his main target?
No, he clearly looked to the left first, then he kind of scans over the middle, and then at the very last second he looks to the right, and that's where he tries to throw the ball.
Well, I tell you what, it was a very good game. The Ohio State game tonight, you know, you've got to root for Ohio State now. I think Ohio State is just a little too much. I don't think they can stop their wide receivers tonight with Ohio State's defense. But it was a good game to watch last night. I think Penn State was the better team, but give credit to Notre Dame. They stuck into the end, and they got an opportunity. They took advantage of it, and they won the game.
Thanks, Nebraska man. Good to hear from you, buddy. I'm going to take one more, then I got to take a break. Keep the calls coming. Scott in Bellefonte. Who's the better team, Scott, Penn State or Notre Dame?
Well, Penn State was the better team, is the better team, but Notre Dame was the better team when it mattered. Especially on third down going, what was Penn State, 3 of 11 on third down?
Yeah, Notre Dame was like 8 of 13 or something like that.
Yeah, they were much better. Corey, I've been a big critic of James Franklin. I think he's a good coach. He's the 13th best, highest paid coach. So if we get rid of him, who are we bringing in? But last night, that was all on Drew. He got bailed out in the end zone on that interception. Mm-hmm. By that horrible pass interference call. The pass to Singleton was horrible. As soon as the game was over, I texted my son. I said, "This game, this loss is on Drew. It's on Drew."
Let me. And you're a grown man. Do you feel guilty saying that about a quote unquote college kid?
Absolutely not. Like you said, he's made more money this year than I'll make in my whole life.
Exactly. So
not
and now that's.
I mean, I was going to say that's
where
I felt bad for him when he started tearing up. And
yeah.
Crying. I felt bad for him for a minute, but he's got to man up and he manned up and accepted responsibility. But no, I don't feel bad one bit.
What does that say what does that say then about where college athletics are? Look. 15 years ago, I would have felt worse for Drew Aller. I wouldn't be coming on here black. I covered college sports for 20 years. I didn't talk this way about Anthony Morelli. Anthony Morelli was just as bad, if not worse, than Drew Aller. We didn't talk this way about Anthony Morelli. But when they start making the money, should they expect that this is just the reality of the way things are going to be with regard to public criticism?
Absolutely. I've called and talked to you about how much money I pay for tickets, and it's It's ridiculous, and they still want more money and more money and more. They're going to have to shell out $5 million for a good quarterback if they want to compete with the big boys, I think.
Yeah.
But he was sitting on the sideline. He had his head laid back, and then he was criticizing the defense for not making a stop after the game that he had. He has no room to criticize anybody.
No question. And that's the thing. Horrible. I keep asking everybody who was the better team, because I felt Penn State was the better team. And that opportunity that slipped away yesterday, again, you're not going to get another opportunity where you play SMU and Boise State and you have a cakewalk to the national semifinal. That's just not going to happen. I'm not saying Penn State can't get to the national semifinal again. It'll never be that easy, and you may never have a situation where it's that easy and you've got a 10-point lead and the other team has injuries galore and you're dominating them for a good bit of the game, and then it just slips away. I mean, the whole package is crushing, really.
And you have the best tight end. You have the best running back tandem in the country. You have the best O-line you've had in who knows how long. You have the defensive player of the year. It's a once in a 10 to 15-year shot, and they blew it.
Yep. That's tough. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in three counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
It was just a little more than a week ago, we counted down the greatest country classics of all time, and Amarillo by Morning took the top spot, which is interesting because it only reached number 4 when it was released in 1983. Well, the charts don't always tell the whole story, and we'll prove it this weekend with a show loaded with solid gold, but not a single number 1 record. Join us this weekend for our feature of Second Bananas on Rick Jackson's Country Classics.
Rick Jackson's Country Classics, 9 to noon Sundays on 1370 AM and 96.1 Hank FM.
Hank FM!
Yeah, our next caller has a good comp for this. Clarkster, what do you make of the Drew Aller pass?
There is your Bill Buckner moment.
Yeah, Bill Buckner was 1986. That was 39 years ago. It has been exactly 39 years since Penn State won a national title, and I think 39 years from now, people are still going to be looking at that Drew Aller pass and saying, what the hell, man?
Well, I want to also ask a couple of questions. If Jim is a Penn State fan, is his house still standing?
I should have mentioned that because did you hear the beginning of the show? I even made reference to wanting to throw something through your TV, and in the back of my mind, I meant to mention something about Jim, who called last Friday or two Fridays ago and said that he threw his remote box through his TV when the Steelers lost to the Chiefs. I wonder, hey, if you're a Penn State fan out there and either you or somebody you know, if you threw something at your TV, I want to hear from you.
Yeah. Eddie, there is so much about that game. The 5 wide receiver targets, you know, the tone was set on the first series when they did throw a pass to a wide out and he was closely guarded and the guy broke up the pass.
That was a pretty good pass. I remember when that fat pass first went, I was like, that's not – that was behind him. But that was a good pass, but that Notre Dame dude was blanketing the guy.
Yeah. There's so many things about that game. The momentum swing at the end of the first half when they went down the field and they even had to bring in the second-string quarterback who seemed to be more on target than Leonard in terms of his passing. Now, they they really rushed him a bit, and they only end up getting the field goal.
Dude was fantastic. Dude came in, was throwing 6 of 7, put the ball on the money. Those 3 points, that was the game. That whole sequence was the game. Penn State's up 10-0. Notre Dame fumbles. Abdul Carter jumps on the fumble. He's clearly there. He's clearly going to get the ball, but Abdul Carter really didn't have much strength in his left shoulder, so he couldn't secure it. And the Notre Dame big guy jumps in there and basically steals the ball from Notre Dame. If Penn State gets the ball back right there,
yes,
I think they go in and kick at least a field goal. Maybe they score a touchdown. It's 17-0 at the half.
Yeah,
instead, it's 10-3.
Yeah, there were so many other little things about the game. The wide receivers, how many receptions did they have for Notre Dame for the whole season? The kid Gatehouse.
Yeah, Nathan was talking in our previews this week on the show that Notre Dame's wide receivers might be worse than Penn State's, and that's hard to believe. That Greathouse dude, he had a tremendous game last night.
Yeah, the two linemen, one had 60 snaps for the whole season.
Yep,
the other didn't have any snaps.
Yep.
Okay. The little tick by Singleton, the next to the last time they had the ball, they end up starting the series 1st and 15,
mm-hmm.
and Aller comes up short when he runs by a couple of yards.
Yeah, great. That's a good call there. I remember watching that. I hadn't thought about it today, but Nick just kind of leans forward just a hair, and then boom, that ends up hurting you.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many little nuances to the game. Obviously, Aller in that pass. Aller seems to hold things in the pocket too long or just doesn't get rid of the ball. Throw it at 20 yards out of bounds beyond the line of scrimmage, and you don't have to worry about the call. I can understand what they were trying to do. They wanted to get 40 yards. The first play was a running play. They got the first down, so they had first down. But he may have looked over to Warren. Warren may or may not have been open. All your receptions were done by tight ends or backs in the game. You didn't have the availability of the wide receivers. Now, the irony is here, Ohio State wins tonight, wins the college thing, and then they make him an offer to come in and quarterback for 1 year.
Let's see, because Will Howard would be gone. I mean, it would. Here's the thing. I have a poll question on Twitter about that because I've heard a lot of people that say they want Drew to transfer out. Drew loves Penn State. He talks about his relationship with James and people at Penn State. He loves Danny O'Brien, the guy I mentioned earlier in the show, the quarterback's coach. I think Drew loves it there. But yeah, if Ohio State comes and offers him $5
million, would you, I mean,
he's from Ohio. He's from, remember, he's from there.
Yeah. I mean, that would be so ironic. I mean, we're worrying about, what's his name, Pergola coming back to haunt us, whatever. But
here's the thing, though, Clarkster.
Yeah.
Ohio State probably knows it can get better.
Oh, I'm sure that.
They're going to go find a gamer who
the
does.
The whole money issue now may turn a lot of people off. I don't get all these people that throwing the money at these programs, for tickets and everything. They're a bunch of lemmings. I don't know why you put up with it. Games are televised. My goodness, why put yourself through that, is what it comes down to.
I like the comparison to the Buckner moment. It's been 39 years. Let's see, 39. I got to do some quick math here. It's 2025. 39 would be 2064. You're not going to be alive. I ain't going to be alive, most likely. Are we still going to be talking about Drew Aller as the Bill Buckner moment in 2064?
Probably.
I think we are. Yep.
All right, bye.
Martin Truex Jr.'s full-time NASCAR Cup Series career is officially over.
Racing-wise, I mean, I'm going to do Daytona 500, and then, I'm looking forward to running some Xfinity cars a bit here and there just to have fun and see how it goes. And I really enjoy that style of car, low downforce and just the older cars that we raced. So I'm looking forward to doing a little bit of that again. And other than that, not sure, but I've got a lot of hobbies, and I need to catch up on those, and I'm excited about that. you know, there's a lot to being a driver at this level. So, yeah, just feel like, you know, kind of relieved and very proud, happy about my career and what I was able to do. And I'm looking forward to going to have some fun. Yeah, it's a little weird. It's great. But, I mean, it means a lot, you know, honestly, that to have the respect of the competitors and people in the sport and just to hear, you know, kind of hear what they think about you. And it's been pretty cool to hear all that stuff. Been fun. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. It's still hard to believe, honestly. I was talking to Barney last week. We texted back and forth a couple times. He's like, we sure did turn upside down the NASCAR establishment. That was fun, you know. So just to be able to do something like that in this day and age, or, you know, 2017 era, I mean, to be able to do what we were doing then, it was really, you know, something special and spectacular. And we just had a lot of fun, and it was a great time for all of us.
Martin does plan to race in the 2025 Daytona 500 coming up in February. Beyond that, we'll see. This is the final lap.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice, but now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to hims.com/joy.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Oh, oh, it's getting hot in here. Oh, 946-0435. Want to join me? Appreciate our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. You want to stop by there before a game, hunting trip, fishing trip, tailgating, whatever. They'll hook you up with pipes, cigars, tobacco blends, everything that you need. Steelers playoff game tomorrow. I'll get to that maybe in a few minutes. If you want to join me about the Penn State game, 946-0435. Again, for me, look, folks, I'm not a fan. I've covered Penn State as a journalist and as a sports broadcaster for 20 years. I'm not a fan. Okay, you guys can be fans. You can perceive your world the way a fan perceives the world. And I know I've been there. You know, I'm a huge college basketball fan. When my team gets bounced from the NCAA tournament, you know, I feel some kind of way about it. So I can't tell you what to think as a fan. I can tell you what I think from an analytical standpoint. And that's that Penn State was the better team, in my opinion. Penn State had everything in the world going for it in that game. Leading up to that game, in that game, they were prepared. They were playing great. Notre Dame suffering key injuries. You've got complete control of the game. At 10 to nothing, it felt like it was 28 to nothing. That's how much Penn State seemed to be in control. But Drew Aller makes a bad pass to Nicholas Singleton. They got to settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown. Abdul Carter doesn't corral the fumble. Notre Dame keeps it. They get a field goal to make it 10-3. And, man, to start the second half, they just came out like gangbusters, determined, absolutely committed to running the football right from the get-go to start the second half. And I give Notre Dame a lot of credit. I give Marcus Freeman a lot of credit. They made good adjustments at the half because they were getting pummeled in the first half. I mean, Penn State was so far the superior team in the first half. Notre Dame comes right back and scores 17 unanswered points. And you're like, wow, that was impressive. But you know what? Then Penn State came back and scored 14 unanswered points to make it 24-17. And you're like, with the way Penn State has just answered the bell, the way the defense has played, it was right there. And then Cam Miller, the defensive back, falls down. Notre Dame gets a 50-something yard touchdown. And as Clarkster pointed out, I think this is an appropriate way to remember it. Drew Aller had a Bill Buckner moment. That interception. I still get people talking to me about like Anthony Scarrato jumping over the dude's back at Iowa in 2008 for a penalty that cost Penn State an undefeated regular season. And it's 17 years later, and I still have people talking about that. The Drew Aller play was 10 times worse. I mean, it's one of the worst passes as a quarter. This wasn't 4th and 9, all right? This was 1st down with 47 seconds to go. Your 3rd progression, you break every cardinal rule in the book throwing that pass, and you've been a guy that's protected the ball your whole career. If I didn't know any better, you would almost think that some higher source, you know where I'm going with this, and I hate to even... wanted Penn State to lose and wanted Notre Dame to win. I don't believe in that junk at all. That's the furthest thing from what I believe in life, period. I don't believe God helps one team win or lose. I don't believe God gives a darn who's winning a sporting event at any level. But man, oh man, to see the way that went against Penn State with everything it had going for it, It's hard for me to think of a situation where they're going to have it that good again in a playoff spot. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's George in Altoona, Corey.
What's up, George?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the game. I'm really disappointed, very disappointed today. And you might be right. Maybe Touchdown Jesus was hiding in the crowd somewhere there.
Who was the better team, George?
Oh, Penn State absolutely was a better team.
Yep.
I mean, you know, if Drew, and he has a tendency to be impulsive, if you know that, why don't you always have a check down guy sitting somewhere that he could, if he can't get it to the guy, he could throw it at his feet. You have a back usually back there that's blocking. Why doesn't the guy turn around? If Drew can't go through his progressions and he thinks he's got to throw it away, why can't he throw it at Catron Allen's feet?
And he said he was, trying to throw it at Amari's feet. But when you're trying to throw a 20-yard pass at somebody's feet,
20 yards down the field, I'm saying
that's
the
tough.
Why doesn't he have a guy 3 yards off the line or 2 yards? That he can not get intentional grounding on. That he could throw it, if the guy has no chance of catching the ball or he's going to lose yardage, he throws it at his feet.
Can you believe after, especially last year, 25 touchdowns, 1 interception, we're told how much he protects the ball. This year he had a few more interceptions, but he still, can you believe? And look, going back to Bill Buckner, Bill Buckner was a really good defensive player, but what do we know Bill Buckner for? And that's
having
it.
Having the ground ball go through his legs. I saw that game. I watched
it. I was watching it live, too. So does Aller, I don't want to say recover. He's going to come back. He's going to play football next year. He's going to do some good things. He's going to do some bad things. But what does this do for the way Penn State football fans view Drew Aller forever?
Well, everybody's going to be skeptical of him. And he might get, at some point, he might get booze like Sean Clifford did one time.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
If he has a, you know, if he has a couple series where he just really looks terrible, he might get booed coming off the field. I saw a list last night of the highest paid NIL guys. Mm-hmm. They have his NIL value at $3.6 million.
Right for next year.
I don't know if it's, I don't understand the value.
Yeah.
Versus when
was this on, was this that
get?
On three thing? Cause here's the thing about that.
You know,
so what's been reported this year is that Drew makes 800,000. Now that's what's reported. So people can make other deals and everything. So we don't know exactly how much he's made. If you go back to this year and last year, I feel pretty confident in saying Drew's made $1.5 million and next year he's probably going to make 2 to 3. Now, again, if he were to decide to transfer, you know, he could probably go to make 4 to 5 somewhere. Penn State's not going to pay him 4 to 5 to stay, but that's what do you harbor any? You're a grown man. I'm a grown man. Do I want to be sitting here and ripping a 20-year-old? Well, no, but that 20-year-old has made more money than, quite frankly, I will make. Even if I could work to 100, I won't make
right.
as much money. So to me,
no,
that makes it fair
crazy.
Game.
I think it's crazy. I was like shocked. I knew that. You know, I had seen stuff with Shador Sanders making $6 million, and when Travis Hunter won the Heisman, they had him up in that same area. And I saw this list that I'm talking about; they had him at $5.7 million. It's crazy. I mean, these guys deserve; they have to understand that with that type of money comes criticism if you're not performing to the level that that money commands. You know, as far as the Danny O'Brien thing, James Franklin owes a large part of his career to Danny O'Brien. That Vanderbilt job never would have occurred without Danny O'Brien. Danny O'Brien was Maryland's quarterback at the time that James was mm-hmm. the OC,
mm-hmm.
and he was the ACC Freshman of the Year. I don't know if you remember, it was the year Kevin Plank came out with all those crazy uniforms.
Okay, yeah.
And they had the Maryland flag on the helmet and all that kind of stuff. And Danny O'Brien lit it up. Although looking back on it, I don't know if it was James or Ralph Friedgen who was really the mastermind behind that offense.
And you see what, that's a great story. I love that. Cause I love history. And you see where I'm coming from with the Danny O'Brien. If you follow Penn State news, and look, I know I'm friends with a lot of Penn State beat writers and they've been drinking the Kool-Aid and they've been sucking at the Drew Allerteat for the last month or so and telling us how much Drew's improved. And I'm like, I don't see it. I mean, he's okay, blah, blah, blah. But this whole notion that all this praise that's heaped on Danny O'Brien throughout the course of the year, go Google Danny O'Brien and you'll see every major Penn State beat writer has slobbered all over Danny O'Brien over the last year.
You know,
and yet you've got a quarterback.
He was actually a mediocre college quarterback, because after Maryland got rid of Friedgen, they brought that guy from Connecticut down who actually
Edsel, Randy Edsel, yep.
Randy Edsel, and Danny O'Brien headed for a transfer. He was at Penn State, considering Penn State, and he bypassed Penn State, went to Wisconsin.
That's right, yep.
And he actually started the year. I think he started the first game for Wisconsin. He was terrible, and he ended up getting benched. And he finished his college career at Elon in North Carolina, a little school down in North Carolina.
It's good history.
Yeah,
I love this.
FCS.
And look,
FCS
I don't want to sit here and bash Danny O'Brien. I'm just saying,
yeah,
if you're going to tell me all the time
right.
how well Drew is coached, and then Drew makes the mistake of a 10-year-old quarterback throwing back across his body on first down off his back foot with a game on the line, I'm going to sit there and tell you the guy wasn't coached very well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not the first, you know, hair pulling pass that I've ever seen Drew throw.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, you would just hope that if he does come back next year, I think he has to come back next year at this point. I think after last night, I think his stock dropped as far as like a potential NFL pick. But, you would hope that his judgment gets better.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, George, appreciate all the history. That's good stuff. I love that kind of stuff, man. We've got Steve in Altoona. What's up, Steve?
Not too much. I was just curious, did you ever watch a college game or an NFL game where there wasn't a holding call on an offensive lineman?
Yeah, no. I mean, it looked like Abdul Carter and other guys were getting held a good bit. The officials missed a blatant hold on Penn State on a key score on a touchdown. Yeah. That was, by and large, we can always say certain penalties can help determine or decide a football game. And, there were certainly missed calls in that game that could have made it go either way.
Yeah, they're very lax on it. There looked like at least some, I would say 7 or 8 that were very obvious, and just my buddies and I were watching.
Yeah. Abdul Carter's such a warrior. He kind of looks like he's getting held on every other play at least.
Yeah. And another question, if Aller had a Jeremiah Smith or a Marvin Harrison Jr., how much better do you think he is?
Okay, that's a great question. I'm glad this was asked because we brought up the Hackenberg thing. Christian Hackenberg was one of the most overrated quarterbacks we've ever seen. The guy completed 53% of his passes in high school. So I don't know why there was ever this notion that Christian Hackenberg was going to be blah, blah, blah. But Christian Hackenberg had Allen Robinson. And Allen Robinson is a superstar. Allen Robinson caught 97 passes 1 year in college. And that's, that's 10 years ago. Allen Robinson made Christian Hackenberg. If Drew Aller had an Allen Robinson, sure. I could absolutely – because Allen Robinson would make anybody look great. But not only do they not have an Allen Robinson or a Jeremiah Smith or a Marvin Harrison Jr., they got friggin' nobody. I mean, we've been told. I don't cover recruiting a ton. Maybe you followed a lot. Every time they get a wide receiver commit, we're told, "Oh, this guy's going to be this and that, and blah blah." And we never hear anything from any of them. All right. So to me, I'm not going to blame last night on Franklin, but I'm going to blame the last 2 years on Franklin, that you knew you had this quarterback recruit that you thought could be a star, and you just have not given him the help at the wideout spot. It's really inexcusable.
Well, hopefully if there's a top 5 guy out there in the portal by next year.
There's not. But secondly, why would he come to Penn State? Why? Steve, if you're a super – look, I mentioned this on a podcast last night. We thought Dante Cephas was going to be pretty good. The guy, we never heard from him again. Malik McClain, we never heard from him again. Okay, so if you're a top 5 wide receiver transfer, Penn State can't pay you what Ohio State can pay you or what some other programs can pay you. You're going to come to a program where, they had good wide receivers with Godwin and Hamler – for a few years, but over the last few years, you see how far it's dropped off. Why would any wide receiver come to Penn State right now?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess we'll just wait till next year for another 10-2 season and see where they're at in seedings.
Good stuff, buddy. I appreciate that. Hey, I didn't ask you, though. Who do you think was the better team, Penn State or Notre Dame?
I think Penn State was the better team, but I think Notre Dame made the better adjustments.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well said.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Every morning, we rise and shine, make breakfast, and brush away the night's rest. These routines help us start the day off right. Nature Made vitamins are a simple step in that daily care regimen. Multivitamins with daily essentials, clinically studied probiotics for gut health support, magnesium to help relax the body. Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
All right, looking ahead here a little bit. You want to join me, 9460435. Ohio State versus Texas tonight. The way Ohio State is playing, man, I think Texas is a good football team. I think they can do a lot of good things, good players. The way Ohio State's playing, though, just catching fire, clobbering Oregon last week. I got Ohio State winning big. I think my prediction was something like 34-17. I'm going to go 34-17 Ohio State tonight, and then I think Ohio State puts a whooping on Notre Dame, like 35-16, if not even more. I just think that Ohio State team, the way they're playing and so focused, the roster is so good. We've known how good the roster was all season. And then they lost to Oregon early on. That was a good win for Oregon. Oregon's a really, really good football team that has a bunch of tremendous talent. But then you saw what Ohio State did to Oregon in the playoff. And, man, that team is just on fire. So I'm going to go Ohio State to crush Texas, crush Notre Dame, and win it all. Tomorrow night, we've got Steelers-Ravens in the playoffs. I don't remember what my score. I think it was like 26-17, maybe. 27-16 Ravens. I can't remember. No, it was 26-17. I had it less than 10. Because the line's 10, I had it less than 10. That's a big number. You know, the Steelers could be down 17 and then score a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion, you know, late and kind of cover a 10-point line. That's a big number. But the Steelers season, I believe, comes to an end tomorrow. We will recap all of that on Monday, and then we will have, if they lose, we will have our final Black and Gold Breakdown show of the season on Tuesday with Kreider and Bortner. Now, if the Steelers win, and my wife keeps telling me, hey, you better shut your mouth talking about the last Black and Gold Breakdown show because the Steelers are going to win. I'm like, okay, if the Steelers win, we'll have more Black and Gold Breakdown shows. But enjoy the football this weekend. We've got Texas-Ohio State tonight in college. We've got the NFL playoffs, Steelers tomorrow. We will recap it all on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. I'm heading out of here. I'm heading to baseball practice. Get a smile on my face with baseball practice. Have a good one, everybody.
Sports Central is an exclusive.